Every day, we're learning more about the crucial role of genetics in health, and the cost to sequence genes continues to decline in price. The worldwide market for direct-to-consumer genetic tests could triple over the next 5 years. That's according to a recent market study. We're talking about genotyping on The Morning Show. I'm Kedar Chirkent. Consumers see avenues for personalized medicine, and they also want to know more about their own genetic data and what can be done with it. Angela Chen is science reporter at The Verge. That's a multimedia reporting initiative by Vox Media, examining how technology is changing the way we live. Angela, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, is this a trend, or what is so appealing about these at-home, direct-to-consumer genetic tests, and why are we seeing such a boom here?
This is definitely a trend. There's really been an explosion in the past 5 or so years. And I think there's two reasons why we're seeing so many. One is that it's just become a lot cheaper. So, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, it would have cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, and no one is able to pay that. So that's one really simple, technological answer. I think the more complicated answer is that this is part of just a general societal trend toward wellness. We have the fitness trackers now. We have a lot of sleep gadgets, and we, have all these diets that we're supposed to eat. So we are all really concerned with how to live better, how to perform better, and be more productive. And a lot of us feel that DNA testing is just the next step to that. And anyone can wear a Fitbit or something like that. But to do a DNA test, that feels like something really personal to you. And it feels like that information could be more useful because it's about you specifically, not just, general information about how to lose weight or run faster or feel more energized.
Oh, these genetic tests, they amplify what we want to do in our lives. They just make it more specific, give us very specific information.
That's the promise. They promise that, if you take the test and we'll look at your genetics, we'll give you information just for you about how you specifically can train to, run that half marathon, or you specifically should eat so that you lose weight most quickly. That's the promise.
In your article, you tested out the direct-to-consumer genetic testing service Helix, and let's listen to an ad for Helix showing a woman who's learned about her genes running with a pack of wolves.
Stacy got her DNA results and found out she's built for endurance. So she joined an elite group of runners and never stopped. Learn what your DNA can tell you at Helix, the world's first DNA store. Find out how to get fit, lose weight, improve wellness, trace your ancestral history, and more.
Oh yeah, it sounds so compelling, Angela. What makes Helix different from other direct-to-consumer genetic tests?
There's two ways. One is the business model. So Helix is a platform. So you pay for their sequencing, and then they will kind of outsource it to third-party companies. That's why you can get all these things at once. You can pay one fee for the, the wellness and fitness. You can pay one fee for ancestry stuff. You can pay one fee for, something like knowing what kind of wine you're supposed to drink. So that's the platform part of it.
Oh, we're at the DNA buffet table here.
Right, which is something you couldn't do before because you'd have to go individually to all these companies. The other part of it is, again, the technological part of it, which is that it does a more advanced form of sequencing. Before, a lot of the companies, they would essentially look at, let me back up. So if your DNA is like a book with millions of letters, most companies look at like a bunch of, letters here and there. So Helix does what's called exome sequencing, which is essentially like looking at a complete sentence. So you can just get a lot more and a lot more detailed information that way. And that's one big advantage that Helix has over competitors.
So it's called exome sequencing, and this is kind of the latest technology that they're using for direct-to-consumer genetic tests?
That's correct.
So is Helix the only one doing this type of service at this point, or are you seeing an expanding marketplace here?
I think there's an expanding marketplace. So for a long time, we've had, you know, 23andMe and Ancestry.com looking at, you know, they're going to tell you where your ancestors are from. And now there's a lot more that are not just about, you know, health and ancestry, but specifically wellness. So DNA Fit is one that I tried that works with Helix. There's, you know, DNA Power, there's Slumber Type, Fitness Genes, all of these that aren't focused on, you know, where did you come from, but with the power of genetics, where can you go? How can we help you reach your limits?
So you've tried this. How did it go for you?
It was interesting. So I tried DNA Fit, which is, it tells me what I'm supposed to be eating and how I'm supposed to be training. Information like, am I sensitive to carbohydrates, or do I have, you know, endurance running muscles or sprint muscles, which is essentially what they had in that ad about running with the wolves. The information, it was trivia, but it definitely didn't help me. It didn't help me reach my goals. And a lot of it has a gloss of science, and a lot of the recommendations they make, I feel, are not scientifically sound.
Angela Chen is with us. She is a science reporter at The Verge. That's a multimedia reporting effort by Vox Media. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you tried genetic testing? What did you learn? Do you want to learn more about yourself through your DNA? Call in or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Angela, what are the benefits and the potential drawbacks for consumers in taking one of these tests compared to perhaps doing it with a geneticist, going to a geneticist's office?
I think, of course, a geneticist will generally always be more accurate, but I think that a geneticist can also put the information more into context for you. So the benefits and drawbacks depend on if you're doing one of the health tests, like looking if you're a carrier for various genetic diseases versus wellness. I think there is a lot of benefit in knowing if you have the disease for an inherited genetic illness, or knowing if you have a higher, you know, probability. There's a whole bunch of ethical, you know, conundrums, like, do you really want to know? But I think it's clear, you know, if you're doing family planning, there are a lot of benefits for that. When it comes to these wellness ones, where it's just like, how can I run faster? How can I sleep better? I don't think there's that much benefit. I think that the science linking the actual results to the recommendations isn't strong. I think they're also often really expensive. And there's a lot of literature showing that even when we do know about we have an increased risk for X, Y, Z, it doesn't really spur behavior change. So it's hard for me to see the benefits beyond, you know, some interesting trivia, which is, at the end of the day, really expensive trivia.
But why isn't the science strong? Because this is your spit. This is your DNA.
There's two parts of it. One part of it is the sequencing. And so that's saying, like, what does your DNA say? And that part is strong. And Helix's sequencing, what we talked about as exome sequencing, is really good. The part of it that's less strong is the connection. So, you know, we might know what the DNA says, you know, what the letters are, what the chemistry is, but that doesn't mean we're able to make really good recommendations for what you can actually do. The analogy I use is, in college, I studied Russian for one semester. So as a result, I can kind of, if I see Cyrillic, I can tell you, you know, I can sound out the letters for you. I can transliterate into the Roman alphabet. But that doesn't mean, because again, one semester of Russian, that doesn't mean I can actually tell you, I can actually read it. So, you know, it's the same thing. Like, you can translate the DNA into, you can know what string of letters it is, but the actual science, like, what does that mean? What can that tell us when it comes to wellness? The studies just aren't that great, and the links are pretty weak.
Yeah, I see your analogy. Can you walk us through what happened in your experience when you tested out Helix for yourself, starting from the sample you gave?
Right. So this was for an article. So my employer expense didn't want to be really clear on that. Otherwise, I could not have afforded it. And the first part is you just essentially spit into a tube and then you send it off. And then for the first one that you do, I think it was 6 or 8 weeks, quite a long bit of time. And then all the results came back in these really colorful PDFs. And it kind of walked me through, and it said things like, oh, I have the gene variant associated with having fast twitch muscles, but I also have a bunch of gene variants associated with endurance. So I'm actually more of an endurance runner. And then it told me that I was pretty sensitive to to coffee and that I'm lactose intolerant. And it was pretty clear. They had a lot of disclaimers, like, this can't tell you what kind of sport you should do. It can't tell you what kind of sport you're good at. It's just supposed to be advice. They're really careful not to make claims. But essentially, they just gave me a lot of advice after I took the test.
Companies like 23andMe and Ancestry take a little slice of your DNA, analyze it, and serve up the results to you in various ways. Genetic testing involves examining your DNA, the chemical database that carries specific instructions for your body's functions. And the testing can reveal changes in your genes that may cause illness or disease. There's a huge growth in this market. The possibilities of what you can learn through your DNA seem endless. Analysts predict the consumer genetic testing market will be worth $340 million over the next 4 years. We're talking about the direct-to-consumer DNA testing industry this hour with Angela Chen. She's a science reporter at The Verge. That's a multimedia reporting effort by Vox Media that explores technology. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you ever done an at-home DNA test? What did you find out? Have you changed anything about your life, how you exercise, what you eat, based on a DNA test? Let's explore after this news. Genetic testing has been used for a long time in the medical and research fields, but it's relatively new for the home consumer market. Every year, more and more companies are offering hundreds of different home-based tests for consumers to explore. Here's a testimonial from 23andMe. It's an ad promoting its health and ancestry kit.
When I got my 23andMe results back, opening up the website, you get to start off kind of with all the fun stuff, looking at your ancestry, looking at some of your traits, and you get to kind of the deeper stuff about the health reports. That can be a little bit intimidating, but also I was really excited just to see what was going to be behind those doors once I opened them.
The direct-to-consumer genetic testing is our jumping-off point this hour of the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Verge science reporter Angela Chen stays with us. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you tried a DNA testing kit? Have you been interested in taking this step? What did you learn if you tried one? What compelled you to take the test? Did the results give you peace of mind? Did they perhaps bring up more questions? 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Angela, it was interesting listening to these ads from 23andMe. The testimonial, she says that it starts with the fun stuff and then it goes on to the more difficult stuff. There was also another ad with this person showing that she had a family history of Parkinson's disease. Do you find generally that these companies first give the consumer the more fun things, quote unquote, before getting to more of the perhaps heavy and difficult topics?
I do find that. I did 23andMe a few years ago, and I still check it sometimes. And to the latest understanding, you can easily access all the stuff about, you know, if you sneeze when you see light. But then I think usually they'll give you like kind of a warning page and ask you to really think about it when you look at things like, do you have a risk for Parkinson's disease? Do you have an increased risk for something like Alzheimer's? There's a lot of, this is information that can really change your life. Sometimes people wish they didn't know because it'll prey on them, it'll make them anxious. So I think it's good that they kind of save that for later and ask you to as much as you can, reflect on it.
What's the difference between a 23andMe then and a Helix? Are they doing essentially the same services?
So Helix, as we mentioned, is a platform, so it can do the same services. It can also tell you your genetic ancestry. It can also tell you what risks you have for various genetic illnesses. And it also offers a lot of different ones. As far as I know, right now, 23andMe is not doing the kind of what should you eat, how should you train, the more wellness-oriented advice.
How do we know for sure that the research that we're getting back on genetic, on the genetic testing isn't leading people to behavior changes? Is there enough solid evidence out there?
So the evidence, funnily enough, is that most of the time knowing about genetic risk doesn't actually lead you to make genetic changes. So I interviewed for my story a researcher at Cambridge, and then they looked at stuff for people who had increased risk of stuff like lung cancer or skin cancer. And knowing this, it didn't make them work harder to cut down smoking. It didn't make them put on sunscreen more often. So I think that's both the good and the bad. It seems not to make you change your behavior if you need to, but it also might not make you change your behavior if you don't need to.
It seems, as I look at these ads, these companies are marketing to healthy people, and even the images they have in these ads are of people working out, of running, and using their technology as a way to improve health and become your best self. But how useful are these kinds of tests to someone who is healthy?
I don't think they're really useful at all. Again, you know, there's the question of the genetic illness. But if you're already healthy, first of all, these genes, they only explain a tiny percentage of the variation in performance. If you really want to, you know, optimize your performance, the first thing you should do, which I think most of us don't do, is, you know, eat more vegetables and just exercise to begin with. Genes are such a small part of what makes you perform and be your best self once you're already healthy. So I don't think they're that useful.
Helix has partnered with organizations like the Mayo Clinic and Mount Sinai Health System to develop apps. So that seems pretty legitimate. But at the same time, Helix and these other direct-to-consumer genetic testing services have disclaimers all over the place indicating that they're not liable for any decisions you might make based on your test results. So they must realize on some level that the science isn't perfect?
I think so. And it's a grab bag because I talked to the Mayo Clinic about what they're doing. And the Mayo Clinic is doing an app that essentially teaches you more about genetics, you know, in an accessible way for someone who's not a scientist. That seems completely legitimate to me. But then you also have stuff that's like, what wine should you drink according to genetics? When really you should know that just because you've been drinking wine throughout your life. You don't need your genetics to tell you that. So it really is a mix of stuff that's more legitimate and stuff that is just kind of for entertainment.
So what else is in this grab bag when you scroll through the options of services you can buy from Helix?
There was a lot of it is the wellness stuff, like the meal planner, the metabolism. Some of it is just, there's one about breast milk, I think. And there's some stuff that's really clearly just for fun. Like you can get your DNA on a scarf or your DNA on socks.
So how seriously should we take the advice we get from these kinds of tests? How can we be smart consumers? And how much does this cost?
The one that I did, so I believe the actual Helix sequencing was $80, and then I think the add-on, the actual results and analysis, was something like $220. So it was about $300 in total. And I think the results that they give you, I think they're unlikely to harm you, but the results that they give you are also extremely obvious. So I was told that I need to eat more broccoli, and then I was told that maybe I should do some sprints at the end of my runs because I have the gene variant for, you know, fast twitch. And that's advice that I could get talking to anyone. You could have told me I should eat more broccoli. Most people should eat more broccoli, right? And then if you're on a running forum, most forums will tell you, you know, you should do sprints anyway to build up, you know, your ability to run quickly. That's not all of that is really general information. And to be honest, I still didn't keep it. It's been cold this winter. I haven't gone outside once.
You're so honest, Angela. So several hundred dollars as part of an initial investment. How do these services keep you coming back? Because after all, they want you to come back and do more things with them, right? So they can make more money.
So I'm not sure how the individual third parties get you to keep coming back, except that sometimes they'll release new analyses. So that's one way. Helix, it can keep you coming back because of the kind of DNA buffet idea we were talking about earlier. So you do one for wellness, and then you do one for breast milk, and then you decide you want a scarf with your DNA printed on it. So the idea is that they already have your DNA, might as well, you know, add on some more.
We're talking right now with Angela Chen. She is a science reporter at The Verge. We're talking about gathering DNA testing and what it means to us as consumers. As this market expands, you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What concerns you about genotyping? Would you want an app on your phone that you could pick from a menu of offerings that would give you insights on how your body functions? Do you prefer more mystery into how your body works? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas at WPR.org. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Angela, give us more information as to this world of genotyping and how companies are expanding in it and how this marketplace is growing.
Been, the demand is there, I think, and I think that's why there's just been this this boom. And a lot of them are really cheap. And I think the reason that a lot of them are cheap is because in a lot of cases you don't get your own data. So I don't know what I know the results. I can't actually see the raw data of my DNA. So if, for example, I wanted to give my genetic results to my doctor, I couldn't do that because Helix owns my genetic results. And then other companies have different privacy policies. But, you know, one way that they're able to grow, one way they're able to keep things cheap is essentially by selling information to third parties. So that's one answer to how they're growing, one answer to how they're able to run and make this so accessible to people.
So would this be undermining the geneticist, going to a geneticist, going through the health avenue, so to speak, the medical avenue, and going to perhaps your primary care physician, who then refers you to a geneticist, who then perhaps does some type of testing that is awfully similar to direct to consumer, but you have someone guiding you there and who certainly went to medical school.
I'm not sure that this will undermine that, because I think most people go to geneticists are the people who suspect, you know, they might not be healthy or something wrong with them. And that's a slightly different just group than the people who are doing this. You know, I've taken DNA tests twice, but if at some point I was starting to feel unwell and I thought maybe there's a genetic component, I would trust a geneticist over 23andMe or Helix. And I think that I would still go, because at that point the fact that your health is declining, I think that's enough of a red flag for you to still go to a licensed, you know, professional who's gone to medical school.
When you did the 23andMe test a few years back, what compelled you to do it?
At that time, I was just curious. And that one wasn't for wellness and health. I think it's the same pull that most people feel. You want to know more about yourself. Maybe there's something interesting you didn't know. And something that surprised me is I'm a science journalist, so I was skeptical, you know, going into 23andMe, I was skeptical going into Helix, but it still has that, I still think about my results sometimes, even though I know they don't really mean anything. It really is psychologically compelling, even when you should, quote unquote, know better.
Does some danger exist beyond the particular science of DNA testing, namely the commercial that has the woman who says her life suddenly makes sense because she's found that she's a portion Native American? How should we think about that?
I think it's dangerous to think about that. I think right now you're seeing some news reports about people on the extreme right who do DNA tests and then find out they're, you know, part essentially not white, and then that gets into a whole political area. I think there's danger also in terms of how this affects your family. Sometimes people take DNA tests and they realize, you know, their father might not be their father, or they're adopted. And so there are, you know, sometimes people will sign up thinking it's just fun, and you realize things that you maybe weren't emotionally ready or prepared to know.
Well, the market analysis on this industry, direct-to-consumer genetic testing, is growing by leaps and bounds. There some estimates $340 million industry over the next 5 years. What do you make of the growth, and where are we going to be seeing the most dollars made in this industry?
I think the most dollars made will continue to be in the wellness area. I think that when you get into the area of genetic disease, that does compete with actual geneticists. And in those cases, when it's that serious, I think the people, the actual doctors will win. Whereas, you know, the much bigger group of people is for people like me. I'm just curious, how can I run faster? I think one place this might go is when we talk about healthcare and when we talk about genetic privacy. Last year, I think it was in March, there was a bill in the House that it, so it failed, to be clear. But the idea is it wanted to make it able for companies to have their employees get genetic testing and share their information, or otherwise, you know, pay thousands of dollars as a penalty. So I think as it becomes more widespread and more cheap, people will be interested in looking at it for insurance reasons, which opens up a whole can of worms related to genetic privacy and genetic non-discrimination.
So what are the concerns over privacy here that people should have about this testing?
I think one is that if you're sometimes, like we said, people's lives will be worse if they know that, you know, they're not, their father is not their father, or that they have this incurable genetic illness and they don't want to know. So if you're mandated to take that test, that's going to give you information you don't want to know. But also sharing it with your employer can be really tricky as well. And discrimination can be a big issue. I think in some states, it's legal to ask for your genetic information. So imagine you're applying for a 30-year mortgage and they get your genetic information. For some reason, it suggests, it's not definitive, but there's a probability you might not live that long. Like, that could be a reason to deny your mortgage.
So the National Institutes of Health is collecting genetic information. What do we know about what the NIH wants to do in collecting a lot of the information that people are trying to discover about their own DNA, about their own bodily functions?
So I haven't spoken with the NIH, so I can only speculate here, to be clear. But I think a lot of agencies that are connecting DNA, they essentially want more and essentially more diverse DNA to do studies on. Because right now, a lot of the studies that we're doing, it's on very specific populations, essentially Caucasian people, which means that if you're not Caucasian, I'm Chinese American, sometimes your results won't even be that accurate. So my guess is a lot of times for the agencies, not the federal agencies that aren't for profit, it's to diversify what they can do research on.
Will you do this again? Are you willing to delve into more advanced aspects of your DNA, or are you kind of over this?
You know, if there was something that seemed really new and was advanced and that someone else would pay for, I think, you know, I would go for it. But I think otherwise, I just haven't seen much change in my life, either positive or negative, after doing these.
Where do you see this trend going in the future?
I think it'll probably become more and more, the quality of the sequencing will probably become more and more advanced. I still don't think that we have the studies, like even in the near future, to really give us information. I think maybe there might even reach a point where enough people, they do this, they realize, hey, I haven't been running any faster, and then maybe they'll become less popular.
Do you see that this is going to become a more crowded marketplace? Are we going to see more 23andMe type companies entering into the marketplace and driving up competition?
I think so. Although at the same time, there really are only a couple of really big players. 23andMe, obviously, Ancestry for Ancestry. And then Helix, now that it's kind of pulled in all these other companies, you know, in its orbit. So maybe because of that, there won't be that many new players. And the new players will align with 23andMe instead of necessarily competing.
Well, Angela, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Angela Chen is science reporter for The Verge. That's a multimedia reporting initiative by Vox Media examining how technology is changing the way we live. Gathering your questions about DNA testing, there's a line for you at 800-642-1234. What concerns you about genotyping? Would you want an app on your phone that could you could pick from a menu of offerings that will give you insights on how your body functions? Do you prefer more mystery into how your body works? Call in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. You can tweet us about the genetic testing that you have done recently. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll be back after a news update. Your genes contribute to the person you are, but they're not the only thing. Your genes may shape your personality, how athletic you are, or how task-oriented you may be, whether you're a morning person or a night owl, but it's often the combination of genes, your experiences, and what you are exposed to that ultimately determine your physical and psychological state. With that in mind, we're having a conversation about genetic testing on The Morning Show and the growing basket of services that are out there for consumers. Sherry Jang is founder of GenoPalette. That's a Wisconsin startup that gives consumers personalized nutrition advice. Sherry, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Yeah,
thank you for having me.
Sure. Explain for us what GenoPalette is.
Sure, my pleasure. So I'm a trained PhD molecular biologist. I founded GenoPalette about a year ago, trying to deliver personalized nutrition analysis based on our proprietary algorithm, analyzing people's DNA, and also together with their metabolic health, demographic, and lifestyle information to give a three-dimensional personal nutrition profiling for each person, like you and me.
So you're direct to consumers in this genetic testing area. Walk us through the process. How does this work?
Yeah, it's actually quite an easy and fun process. It's similar to what Ancestry.com is offering for the past 5 years. So it started with a saliva collection kit. When you order your GenoPalette analysis, we mail it to your home or any addresses you pointed to, and you receive it's an FDA-cleared saliva collection kit. You provide your spit, and you drop into any mail and make sure you provide we de-identify to respect people's privacy. So we actually recognize at a lab as a barcode instead of your true name. So you need to provide that online, and then we'll be able to receive your sample and extra DNA from your sample at a lab and then conduct our multi-step analysis based on that. Also, you need to provide, I heard the nice talk you and Angela have had just now, that it's genetics doesn't, have it all. We need to provide other personal information as well, just to help us to give you the more accurate as possible information for your nutrition and wellness. So we ask people to fill out a online survey that will give us the critically important information that clinical nutritionists normally use in clinical practice. So, and all together, weeks later, we'll be able to provide you GenoPalette personal nutrition guide and also a personal shopping list where you can go to the store and shop for your genes.
Okay, so when this spit arrives in your lab, you're analyzing it, but how do you do that? What are you trying to figure out through the sample, through your sample you receive from a consumer?
Yeah, great question. So based on I did over 11 years of obesity genetics research at Medical College, Wisconsin, before I went full-time on this company trying to help people interpreting the data. So initially, me and with my scientist team, we went into the knowledge base that scientists in the community has spent about 15 to 20 years ever since the sequencing of the first human genome, building this knowledge base where we can actually mine the data. So we did a data mining initially, look at all the impactful, robust clinical trials and studies that based on our, standards as a hardcore scientist that we can reliably and confidently use as biomarkers. So we, through that extensive process of data mining processes, we identify a total of 38 markers that link the, you know, the SNPs, the single nucleotide polymorphism that all these platforms, including ourselves in genotyping, link that variant of between you and me with the outcomes in wellness. For example, whether you will easily gain weight or you have a risk for developing type 2 diabetes when you consume certain type of nutrition. Either we're talking about anti-inflammatory diet over, you know, two to three years based on thousands of people's experience with your genotype, or iron intake, you know, in another study that we selected.
So it does. And Sherry, you described you and your colleagues as hardcore scientists. Why did you make the leap to go to create GenoPallet? What made you want to do this work with direct-to-consumer genetic testing?
Yeah, good question. So I loved being an academic researcher, and my whole family was a scholarly family. You know, probably most of them were educators. So I love what I did at the college, and but there was a gap that I observed over the course of the decade while I was trying to help finding the genetic and epigenetic causality to obesity and other nutrition-related illness. And I found that we could have a better way of channel the increasing amount of knowledge to people, including you and me. So I want to just cut through it. You know, it was a daunting, brave effort for, you know, both as a business or a personal level. But I think it's a good time to do that, and I think I have a unique and blessed position to deliver that.
Sherry Jang is with us, founder of GenoPallet. That's a Wisconsin startup that gives consumers personalized nutrition advice. You can join the conversation about direct-to-consumer genetic testing at 800-642-1234. Sherry, are we as people so different on a genetic level that we need personalized diets?
Mm-hmm. So between you and me, we, on average, differ in about 3 to 4 million letters of our whole genome. As you probably know, the whole genome is 3.2 billion letters. So, you know, 0.1% of that is the difference. That makes you look differently from me and probably think differently from me, and also digest the food, the same food that we face every day, with a different burning rate, to be very simplified version of the metabolism. There's, you know, 28,000 genes in our body that are functioning at this moment, you know, up and down and expressing different organs. Probably half of that, this is an estimated guess based on the whole body of knowledge, are probably related to eating and nutrition and, you know, the daily activities we do, because that's the how we evolved in our past ancestry. The human nutrition shaped our genome dramatically. So I'm originally from Northern Asia, so I have the Asian ancestry. That makes me lactose intolerant, because about 3,000 years into cattle farming, we still live on rice for all these years, but Northern Europeans and along other three other tribes on the global map developed a way, literally changed the one of the key genes that will process this. It's an enzyme, so process the lactose, right? So they became actually lactose tolerant. That put them over other people having advantage, because lactose, the sugar in milk, give them a higher advantage for survival.
And you can clearly see the lactose intolerance when you do your own genetic testing.
Yes, and I was living in, so I came here for Marquette University for my PhD and then stayed ever since and love Wisconsin. I love cheese. I love cheesecake, all that stuff. But I sometimes have upsetting stomach and, you know, it's just sometimes awful, sometimes okay. So I was like, you know, I probably is okay until I you know, finally did my use myself and tested our panel of markers. And
well, Sherry,
let
me ask you this. You know, Angela Chen said earlier that even when we know this information, we're not likely to change our lifestyle. So how do you confront that research, that knowledge, with what you're trying to do with your company?
Yeah, yeah. I heard Angela's comment, and I agree with her on the fact that based on, because this is such a new technology and an industry, technology has been there for years, but the application of reading your genomic makeup and direct you to certain intervention or changes in your lifestyle, eating habit, exercise, and you name it, is fairly new. I mean, we're talking about probably 2 to 4 years most. And Helix was only, you know, really up and running in a bigger size since last year. So we just don't have the efficacy data as a scientist point of view to prove or disprove that. However, I think based on the previous studies and the clinical trials, and you know, scientists and spend a lot of effort, and NIH and NSF, you know, all these funding agencies that have put in, you know, billions of dollars altogether, they are pretty robust evidence.
So there's robust evidence out there, but still so much to learn about genetic testing. Sherry, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
Sherry Jang is a founder of GenoPalette. That's a Wisconsin startup that gives consumers personalized nutrition advice. Earlier, we talked with Angela Chen, a science reporter at The Verge. This hour, the morning show is produced by Colleen Leahy and Keely Baltina. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and this conversation about direct-to-consumer genetic testing, you find it on the Ideas Network.